Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear friends, the text for the sermon today is the last two verses of the gospel reading that was just read about what happens at the baptism of Jesus. You may be seated. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, our living Lord, we begin in his name and honor. My wife Linda, wherever she is, she's out there someplace, there she is. My wife Linda will tell you that I am a fan of old John Wayne Western movies. Now, I understand that dates me a little bit, because you have to be almost my age to remember who John Wayne was. I'd be willing to bet that a lot of the younger ones out here say, John who? But anyway, he starred in a lot of old Westerns. They're old today. In one of them, he played a cowboy who is repeatedly asked, who are you? Today, that question, who are you, is behind the events of our reading from Luke. Today is the day we recognize and we celebrate our Lord's baptism. But have you noticed that John does not really spend, or Luke does not really spend much time talking about the baptism? The beginning of the sentence, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized. And when it comes to his baptism, that's it right there. John is just saying, everybody's being baptized by Jesus. Oh, no, by the way, Jesus had also been baptized by now. And that's the whole introduction and the whole description of the baptism. Okay? The real action, the main part of the sentence starts next. When this had been done, when the baptism had been done, when Jesus' baptism was done, now, as Jesus was praying afterwards, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. And in that moment, the Father spoke these words, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. These words make it clear who Jesus is. He is not just another good man happens to get baptized. He's not just a good example. He's not just a wonderful, effective teacher. He is not just another prophet. With these words, our Father in heaven announces that Jesus is his Son and is also true God. John, in his gospel, writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and you know the rest of it, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Son of God. God the Father, who by his Word created all the world and everything in it, in the book of Genesis. God the Father, who spoke to Abraham and promised him a descendant through whom all nations would be blessed. God the Father, who called Moses to redeem and rescue his children, his people, out of the land of Egypt. God the Father, who continued to speak to all his people through the years, through a long line of Old Testament prophets. And now, finally, God the Father, who called Israel to repent and prepare the way of the Lord through John the Baptist. And God the Father says of Jesus, you are my Son, my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. With these words, there's no doubt about who Jesus is. And with these words today, the plan for our salvation begins to unfold. Now, let's go back a little bit, if you will. We cannot overlook that phrase that's just before this one, the heavens were opened. We could skip past that real fast in a sentence, but that is a tremendously important phrase, because the truth is this. Heaven is closed to us because of our sin. Do You remember what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. God drove them out of the garden. The Garden of Eden, heaven if you will, was closed to them. Nor would they be allowed to get back in. God placed angels with swords at the entrance to bar their way. They could not get into heaven or into the Garden of Eden on their own. They could not get to the tree of life. They could not claim eternal life on their own. Nor can we. Our church's baptismal liturgy reminds us of that. With the terrible truth that's taken from Psalm 51, the liturgy reads, "We are condemned and born sinful, and we would be lost forever unless delivered from sin and death and eternal condemnation." We have no way back to God on our own. But we have a wonderful truth. Heaven is open to us now through Jesus and his baptism. That's why I think it's significant that heaven opens when Jesus is baptized. But the ironic thing is, he didn't have a need to be baptized. Jesus had no sin. But he undergoes baptism for sin anyway. And in this baptism, he identifies with us. In this, his baptism, he takes on what was never his. He takes on our sins, our anger, our greeds, our lusts, our lack of mercy, our failures to obey, our idolatries, our self-righteous thoughts that somehow we hoped we might do enough on our own or be good enough on our own to somehow get into heaven. In his baptism, Jesus becomes our substitute, standing in the place, in our place, facing the wrath and the anger of God against sin. In his baptism, he takes on all our sin burdens on himself. And he takes them then all the way to the cross and pays for them in full there. So, Jesus' baptism matters because heaven is open to us through his baptism. And your baptism matters too, because in your baptism, you are connected with Christ. In your baptism, you are connected with Christ. In the miracle of holy baptism, God connects you to his Son, our Savior, and also to his Son's cross. That's why Paul wrote in the book, reading from Romans, "Do you not know," he says, "that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" In holy baptism, God puts our sinful selves to death. In our baptisms, you are cleansed of your sin and its guilt. In Christ, your sins are paid for. And in Christ, then, connected with Christ, heaven is open to you. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul then writes, "All of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus have been clothed with Christ." And that's a great gospel statement. We are now clothed with the robes of Christ's righteousness. So now when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. God does not see our anger or our greed or our lack of love or all the other sins we have. He sees only perfect holiness, the perfect holiness of his Son, Jesus. This is God's work. Through it, heaven is opened to us. That brings us to the next part of the reading. The Holy Spirit descended then on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. Your baptism is a baptism into Christ. It is also, then, a baptism into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus that day, the Holy Spirit that God or Jesus promised to send to you after he had ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit that God, Jesus, promised to all who believe. Think of it. You have a divine gift, the gift of the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit in your life now as a Christian in Christ. St. Paul writes, again in Romans 6, we were buried with Christ by baptism into death. In order that Christ rose from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And there's the next step in our walk, if you will. Because in holy baptism, then, God's Holy Spirit in us is ready to lead us to a new life. A newness of life, Paul says. Now we are able to turn away from our sinfulness. Now we can live empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now we practice love and compassion toward others. Now we practice forgiveness to all. And now we will live showing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The list is from Galatians 5. You might wonder, you might ask the question found in the Catechism, how can baptism, that is simple water, do such great things? Martin Luther answered in the Catechism, it is not the water, but the Word of God that is in and with the water. With the Word of God, he says, it is a baptism, that is a life-giving water. It is rich in grace, and it is a washing of new birth and new life in the Holy Spirit. Paul proclaimed that truth to Titus when he wrote, God saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out generously through Jesus Christ. Martin Luther concludes his thoughts about baptism this way. A new man should daily emerge to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. A new man emerge, a new person, a Christian who will live with the gifts of the Spirit. But today's gospel reading is not so much about Jesus' baptism. It is about what Jesus does for you at his baptism. And he gives you good gifts. Think of all the gifts that Jesus gives you at baptism. Life-giving gifts. Salvation gifts. He gives you the gift of being your substitute in front of God's anger. He gives you the gift of taking your place under God's judgment against sin. He gives you the gift of his death. He gives you the gift of a paid-in-full receipt for all your sins. He gives you the gift of resurrection to newness of life now and to eternal life on the day of the Lord. In Christ, through baptism, you will rise to eternal life in heaven. These gifts are from Jesus through his baptism. These gifts for you are real and sure and certain and eternal. And they are these things because Christ was baptized in your place. They are yours because he has defeated sin and death and the devil for you. They are yours because he has suffered and died and risen again from the grave. They are yours through faith and holy baptism, the baptism by which he calls you by name, puts his mark, the sign of the cross, on your head and heart, and washes away your sins. You are his. You belong to him by your baptism. In Christ, this statement, you are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. Notice I changed it a little bit. What the Father says today of Jesus in the reading, he also says of you. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. That is truth. Your truth through Jesus Christ and his baptism. You are God's beloved child. Now with you, God is well pleased. Go today from here and live today from here with that eternal assurance of love, forgiveness, and presence from your Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise to confess.